그렇게 마칠러 멍감릉 아이 대기르며 귀비라라 엄만 내 수기룬 니나 전은 So, in the Czech language, is there a word like domicile or domesticate with its Latin root domus for home? No?
Well, we can say, yeah, it's used sometimes, domestic.
And what does that mean? To domesticate, okay, perfect. This is the word I want. So there is this word, common in English and in the Czech language, domesticate.
Takže slovo domestikovaný, které pochází z latiny, v angličtině i v češtině, znamená domácně.
Everyone knows what that means? Yes. So the root of domesticate is from Latin, domus, which means home.
Latinský kořen domas znamená domov.
Domov. That's home. Well, you have this word. So. Then that comes in turn from Greek domos.
Potom v řečtině se to mění na domos.
And that in turn comes from Sanskrit damas.
A to pochází ze sanskritu damas.
The word damas in Sanskrit means to control.
A damas v sanskritu znamená ovládat.
You hear in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samo damas tapas saucham. He's speaking of the qualities of a brahmana.
Krishna Bhagavad Gita opisuje vlastnosti brahmany.
So, brahmana should be sama, he should be equal to all. He should be damas, he should be self-controlled. He should be austere. He should be clean.
Má být stejný ke všem, má být sebeovládnutý, má být podřikavý, má být čistý.
So, to become damas, self-controlled, there are two levels, or two levels of becoming self-controlled.
So, dvě úrovně toho, jak se člověk stává sebeovládnutý.
So, the highest level is by hearing.
Vyšší úroveň je naslouchání.
So, all of Vedic culture is based on this, hearing from the spiritual master.
Na tom se zakládá celá vědecká kultura, naslouchání od duchovního mistra.
And those who are most intelligent, they become damas, or self-controlled, simply by that.
A ti, kdo jsou nejinteligentnější, se stanou sebeovládnutými jednoduše tím postupem.
Yesterday I was speaking of those who are nishkam, who are without material desires, nishkam karma yogis, who are able to perform their duties without material desires. So their performance of their duties is simply on the basis of what they have heard. They have heard from the spiritual master, from the Vedic scriptures, that you do like this, and they do, without any further interest in selfish gratification.
Včera jsem mluvil o miškáma karma jogínek, kteří plní svoje povinnosti jenom na základě toho, že slyšeli od duchovního mistra, co mají dělat a nemají žádný sovětský zájem.
Narkirti is shaking his head like he doesn't agree with the translation. Okay. All right. Then, there are those who are not able, because of strong material desires, to become self-controlled only by hearing.
Potom jsou ti, kteří kvůli silným touhám nedokáží se stát sebeovládnutými jenom naslouchání.
So they are sakam karma yogis.
To jsou sakama karma yogini.
So they have to learn by hearing and also by feeling, by experience, or as we sometimes say, the school of hard knocks.
A ty se musí učit jak naslouchání, tak zároveň vlastní zkušenosti tím, že to cítí sami na sobě, a tomu říkáme někdy škola tvrdých úderů.
So from this we see the appearance of this sense of dhammas or control, self-control, which leads into these words like domesticate, domicile, griha, in other words, grihastha ashram.
A se dozvíme, jak se objevuje dhamma sebeovládání, které potom přichází domov, nebo griha ashram.
Yes, okay. So, in order for the man who has heard but is not able to fully put in practice, there is the chaste woman in Vedic culture.
Pro muže, který slyšel, ale není schopen to uvést do praxe, tak je ve vedické kultuře počestná žena.
So, woman is trained in Vedic culture according to what is called Satita Dharma, or the Dharma of chastity.
A žena je ve vedské kultuře trénovaná na základě dharmy počestnosti.
So, in marriage, the man who is unable just by hearing to become dhammas, fully self-controlled, he combines with the chaste woman, and she domesticates him.
Takže v manželství muž, který není schopný povým nasloucháním dosáhnout sebeovládání, tak se spojí s počestnou ženou a ona ho domestikuje.
She teaches him to become self-controlled by the school of hard knocks. So, Srila Prabhupada said that in India you can see a woman, the wife, becomes the home minister. She takes control of all family affairs.
Srila Prabhupada říkal, že v Indii se žena stává domácím ministrem, která stará se o všechny záležitosti domácnosti.
The man's control, his authority, is actually outside of the house. He's got some work, he earns money, he's in full command of those activities. But in actual fact, although sometimes it is said the man is the king of the castle, in actual fact, as soon as he steps into his house, as soon as he steps through the door, he comes under the control of his wife, as is everything else in that house.
Mužová autorita platí na všechno mimo ten dům, že má své povolání, kterém je vládcem, ale jakmile vstoupí do domu, tak se stává vlastně, spadá pod vládu té ženy stejně jako všechno ostatní v tom domě.
So, he first of all willingly accepts this control because he's attached, he's attracted to his wife. But gradually as time goes on, he becomes aware that this type of control is actually confining, restricting, because it is material.
Že ho to spoutává a omezuje, protože je to hmotné.
So, at some point in his life, the Prabhupada recommends, at age 50, around there, he should leave his home existence, take sannyas.
A v určité chvíli, jak Prabhupada doporučuje, okolo 50 let, a ten muž opustí domov a vzít sannyas.
By that time, he has actually attained real dhammas, real self-control. He no longer needs to lean upon woman and home to help him.
A v tu dobu už dosáhl skutečného sebeovládání, dhammas, a už se nemusí poutat té ženě a domov, aby mu pomáhat.
And since it's man's nature to go out, as we've mentioned, even family men, they go out to work. In India, you see, especially, the husbands They'll go out, they'll leave their home for 3 months, 6 months, years, sometimes go to foreign countries just to make money. And they send the money back home, but they don't see their wives, their children for long periods of time.
Je povahám, že odcházet z domova, v Indii zvláště vidíte často, že manželé odcházejí od rodin na 3-6 měsíců někdy do ciziny, aby vydělávali peníze a nevidí své ženy a děti celou dobu.
So since man has that propensity, in the sannyas ashram, that propensity is meant to be fully engaged in the Lord's purpose, as explained here in this verse. Kritva dayam cha jiveshu. So this means to show compassion to all living entities. Yeah, it's interesting that the word for showing compassion is kritva. So kritva is that root krit means to do. It's also the root of karma. It means work. So when a man attains to spiritual life, when he gives up all connection with material life, then it's not that he stops working, but his kriti, nara kriti, the kriti of this nara, this human being, kritva dayam cha jiveshu, is simply to show mercy to all living entities. That is the function of the sannyas ashram.
Zajímavé, že pro to prokazování soucitu je tady slovo kritva, ten kuren krit znamená něco dělat, to je stejné jako kuren karma. To znamená, že ten, kdo je v životním stádiu odříkání, neznamená, že přestane pracovat, ale pracuje na tom, že ukazuje soucit všem živým bytostem.
So this word sannyas, sang means everything, like the English word sum. I think you have the same word in Czech. You add up numbers, you get a sum. So sum and then nyas. Nyas means to put aside or put down. So sannyas means to put down everything else, all other engagements except this service to the Lord.
Sannyas, san znamená všechno jako suma a nyas znamená dát stranou. Znamená, že sannyas si dává všechno stranou právě pro tu činnost, aby mohl sloužit pánu. No, dává všechno stranou, aby
Krishna defines sannyas in Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, as chetasa sarva karmani mai sannyasya matpara, that all activities should be done in full consciousness of Him, chetasa sarva karmani, in full consciousness of Krishna. We should perform all our activities for the Lord and offer Him all the results of those activities, not keeping anything back. This again is nishkam. No personal desire.
Bhagavad Gita Krishna říká, že všechny činnosti mají vykonávat pro něho v plném vědomí, to znamená vykonávat pro něho a potom všechny výsledky obětovat jemu, a to je zase niškáma bez osobní touhy.
And this standard of sannyas, Krishna's own standard, chaitasa sarva karmani, that all activities are to be dedicated to Him, is intended for the temple, not just the sannyas ashram itself, but also for the temple, because the deity is the center, and all activities in the temple are meant only for the deity's pleasure.
Tento Krishna standard sannyasu, že všechno má dělat pro něho, aby to je taky určený pro chrám, nejen pro sannyasiny, ale pro chrám, kde je božstvo středem a všechno se má dělat pro ně a aby to až jim.
So those who live in the temple must be damas. They must be self-controlled. They must be nishkam. Hare Krishna. The temple is not meant to be managed in the same way as the griha.
Chrám nemá byť spravovaný stejne ako griha.
Srila Prabhupada said in a letter that in ISKCON temples, the president is actually, the position of president is actually meant for sannyasis. Prabhupada said, Bada Grihasta can also be temple president if he is restrained, if he is damas, if he is self-controlled.
Prabhupada řekl do písne, že místo temple prezidenta je ve skutečnosti určené pro sannyasiny, ale i grihasta může být temple president, pokud je sebeovládný.
But if the temple president or if the male devotees in the temple who are holding the important positions, leadership positions, if they require to lean upon women, lean upon the grihasta or griha arrangement for their dhammas, for their self-control, then that's going to create a big problem.
Pokud se oddaní muži jako vedoucí pozici v chrámu, jako tento prezident musí opírat ve svém sebeovládání o ženu a o griho, tak to by potom byl velký problém.
See. Because as soon as women begin to take control of the temple, as they take control of the griha, then gradually, step by step, the whole atmosphere of the temple will become material instead of spiritual. Now women are naturally endowed with expertise in areas of cooking, cleaning, also management of money and household type affairs. They have a natural brain for these things. And men who leave, who lean on women, who require women's help, then it's their tendency to leave all these things up to them. Yes, you do the cooking, you do the cleaning, you take care of the money.
A muž, který se opírá o ženu, který potřebuje její pomoc, tak má tendenci nechávat všechny věci na ní. Ty váš a ty tady uklízej a ty se starají o peníze.
But as soon as women are given this facility, generally it is seen, then the motive passion starts to become prominent.
Ale jakmile ženy dostanou tyhle možnosti, tak začne převažovat kvalita vášně.
Impelled by the motive passion, then the man, he is amassing more and more wealth and opulence.
Potom ten muž je taky hnaný kvalitou vášně a hromadí víc a víc bohatství.
Which is not actually for satisfying Krishna, but for satisfying the expectations of the woman. Of course, in the beginning, if this starts to happen in the temple, everyone starts to think, oh, things are becoming so nice. But because it's the mode of passion, then one sees gradually what follows. Wealth comes in, but then also the austerity goes out. And then the politics come in. Because as soon as men come under the control of women, then the women start to pull all the strings. And the men become more and more agitated and start to fight with each other. And the women enjoy that.
Jakmile se muži dostanou pod vládu žen, tak ženy začnou táhat různé dynutě a muži se mezi sebou začnou hádat, to jsou velice vzrušení.
And then frustration follows.
Potom přichází frustrace.
Then there's no more enthusiasm for spiritual life at all.
Už není žádné nadšení pro duchovní život.
By this time everyone's gotten married.
Tou dobou už se všichni oženili.
And they start to make plans. Well, I'm not going to stay here in this temple. Too many politics, too much trouble, move out. So all the grihastas leave, and then the temple is bare.
And
So we have this pattern. This is not just a theory. It's been observed in many places in ISKCON. So therefore, the management of the temple has to be very aware of this difference between temple management, the principle of temple management, which is actually the principle of sannyas, and the principle of the griha management. Now the consequences, the practical consequences of this does not mean, as you might logically conclude, that therefore no women can live in the temple. That's not the consequence. Although that is how they do it in India. That is one solution to this problem. Just don't let the women in the temple except just to come and have darshan, pay obeisances and give a donation, take some prasad and then go. But it is seen in the Vedic scriptures that there are great women devotees also. And Srila Prabhupada saw when he began preaching that sincere women were coming forward, and he thought, yes, give them a chance to serve Krishna. But if they are to live in the temple, then they must be on this, as we mentioned the other day, Brahminical platform, or actually a sannyas platform also. There's a nice story from the Padma Purana of one great Vaishnavi named Divya Devi. So she was a Kshatriya princess. But she was also a devotee, Vaishnavi. So her father arranged a marriage for her with a prince named Chitrasena. But just before the marriage could take place, that prince died. Then she was arranged to be married to Rupasena, another prince, but he also died. So in this way, marriage after marriage was arranged. 21 marriages were arranged, and just before the ceremony, each of these prospective husbands would die. So finally her father arranged for Svayamvar, which means it is proclaimed that I have this daughter, this princess, Divya. She is available for marriage, so anyone who wants to come to take her, just come on and fight, have a competition with each other between the Kshatriya princes, and the winner can have her. So many princes came to the palace, and a big battle ensued, and they all killed each other. There was no one left alive. So Divya Devi became thoroughly disgusted with all this. And she was fortunate to be able to accept Srila Shukadeva Goswami as her spiritual master. The same Shukadeva who recited Srimad Bhagavatam. And he told her, you just forget all this. And he taught her a means of austerity, method of austerity, which she performed. And as a result, Lord Vishnu himself appeared before her and took her to Vaikuntha. So, in the Vedic scriptures, there is this and many other accounts of great lady devotees who were also frustrated with the prospect of material sense gratification. So these kind of Divya Devis, they're welcome to live in the temple. Because their presence will not disturb this atmosphere of Nishkam Karma Yoga, or this definition of sannyas as Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, that all activities must be dedicated to him. But if we, either male or female, are not able to maintain that standard, Now, I also should say that doesn't mean that grihasthas can't live in the temple either, but they should be grihastha brahmacharini. The standard of sannyas has to be maintained even by the grihasthas in the temple. But if it is not possible, then one may establish griha outside and take to the second method of dhammas, of becoming self-controlled. The process of domestication. So also in the ISKCON farms, there is facility for a whole community of devotees based on Varna Ashram Dharma. So also grihasthas who are sakama, who have their desires to fulfill, can live on such farms. But still, we have seen the successful farms in ISKCON are those which the central core, the management, is nishkama, is brahminical, is centered only on serving the deity. So this is Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, as Srila Prabhupada expected it to manifest in ISKCON. So, as I've said, we have seen practically that when temple and griha, when there's a confusion between the two, when the temple starts to be managed in terms of the griha, and then there are so many difficulties. When this happens, then the real purpose of the temple, kritva dayam cha jiveshu, is impeded, is hindered. The temple should be like Vaikuntha, a place of pure practice of Krishna consciousness, so that when a new person, a guest, visitor enters the temple, he immediately can feel the purity.
Tam má být jako Vaikuntha, mysl čistého vykonávání odané služby, aby návštěvník, když poprvé přijde, okamžitě čistil, cítil tu čistotu.
Immediately perceives the difference between the temple and the rest of the material world outside.
Okamžitě vnímá rozdíl mezi chrámem a zbytkem světa venku.
Sometimes, however, guests enter temples and they think that it's worse in the temple than outside.
Někdy se stává, že přijdou hosti do chrámu a myslí si, že v chrámu to je horší než venku.
So this is not meant to be.
To by tak nemělo být.
So are there any questions?
Protože tam třeba jsou vysoký standard a tak dále, tak na základě toho se necítí dobře, když to jdou do jiného templu a tam není takový, taková přísnost a taková standardka, tam se cítí spokojený, že to je krásný
příklad. Sometimes even happens that devotees are coming to the temple and they don't feel good because there's too high standard and they feel better in some other temples and so high.
No, prostě na základě, že ten tento není něco dobře, nebo asi tak cítí, nebo jestli to jinak odaný, který předchází do toho.
Is it that there's something wrong with the temple, or is it something wrong with the devotee?
Well, you know, this is also, there's a question of subjectivity here. There may be two temples which are maintaining the standard that Prabhupada wanted. But one has introduced additional things. Srila Prabhupada's standard was actually very simple. Especially after Prabhupada left the planet, then from India, various details of achara. Achara means the devotional behavior, devotional life, devotional practice. Various additional details were introduced.
Když Prabhupáda odešel z planety, tak zvláště z Indie přicházely různé dodatečné podrobnosti ohledně chování, které nás
vidělo. We saw, for instance, that the temple worship became more complex than in Prabhupada's time.
Tak jsme viděli, že se mnohem zesložitělo uctívání božstev za čas Prabhupáda.
And in some temples they have a rule that women cannot do arti, they cannot go on the altar, which was not there in Prabhupada's
time.
Now, I'm not going to say whether this is good or bad. But because of this, there has appeared a kind of difference in standard, although the basic standard may be the same between a temple that didn't import these additional features and one that did. The basic standard, what Prabhupada expected, may be the same. So, therefore, it may be that someone visits the one temple that has the old standard and thinks, I feel more comfortable. Well, that's all right. Because at least there's Prabhupada's standard. But when a temple slips below Prabhupada's standard, then there's chaos. Then that temple becomes very difficult to manage. Devotees are dissatisfied and they leave. So at least what Srila Prabhupada established must be maintained, and Prabhupada's standard is very clear there in his letters. Basically, this is what Prabhupada wanted, that in the temple all the activities are dedicated to the deity. The temple be a place of austerity and purity. And if there are those who have other interests, other desires, not that they are condemned, but to live outside. Should establish their Grihastha ashram outside and help the temple from that position.
Especially in America, the culture is a culture of simple, is a culture of lack of respect. This is considered good. The less respect you show, the better they think it is.
Media.
So many one of the great sources of entertainment is to show how a inferior is ridiculing a superior, so-called employee making fun of his boss. The boss is trying to be very serious. Oh, listen to me. And the source of all pain. Now there is, of course, a reason for this. Because in this age, those who occupy positions of authority are not really worthy of it.
But devotees, all devotees, are worthy of respect.
So among devotees, we should respect each other. So in that sense, yes, everyone is equal. And these positions that devotees take, temple president, temple commander,
they're all but said.
In the Bhagavad Gita, he said so many times that these are responsibilities that are given by Krishna, who is the main problem. So, therefore, there is to be additional respect shown to these positions. First of all, the devotee should be respectful. As a devotee, he should be helpful, showing respect to others. Maybe he occupies a position in the Daivi Varnashma, then there is respect. Yes, of a sannyasi. Even if he's a Mayavadi sannyasi, he is respectable. That's the tradition of society, sannyasi. If he is a true renounced person, he will be coming in with Shankara Sampradaya. The Prabhupada said, to respect that tradition. Because that is the tradition of sannyasi. It is actually manifested by Krishna in this world. So the position is respected. Doesn't mean we offer our respect. Doesn't mean we have to listen to the philosophy. But we offer respect to the position. And if the sannyasi is moreover a Vaishnava, then he's even more respected if we offer our respect to Vaishnava. Culture of mutual respect between devotees, and everyone respecting the positions of Daivi Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada said means this, what means Daivi Varnashram. Positions of temple president, ABC, so on. These are all positions within Daivi Varnashram. So we should all respect. And then in this atmosphere of respect and commonality of devotion to Krishna, then
India, you still find there is a great culture of respect for elders, respect also for women, as Mataji, as mother, respect for sadhus, respect for government representatives. Even I'm told, in South America too, there is some degree of this culture that people, young people, still respect their elders. But whenever you see such a culture, you'll see that they that family life, social life, works very smoothly in comparison to this type of culture, which is culture of disrespect. So, while it is a fact, we have a duty to Srila Prabhupada to maintain his society nicely. But everything must be based on this culture of respect. To serve Krishna means to give up exploitation. If I am a devotee of Krishna, I will not exploit others. I will not use my position to exploit others. I will not ridicule others. So this is the responsibility of every devotee. To work together to manifest the Vaikuntha atmosphere within this material world. Unfortunately, we've seen on both sides, on the side of those who are in positions, the tendency to exploit has manifested. That means they're not respecting the devotees under them as being devotees. They're looking upon them as just being objects of their manipulation. And then on the other side, there are those who rebel against such authorities, and in their rebellion, they reject the whole structure. They say, such persons have become quite outspoken in saying that the ISKCON structure doesn't work fundamentally. The system of GBC or temple president or whatever, that which Prabhupada established, they've become very outspoken in saying it just doesn't work. So in both cases, it is this, both on the side of the so-called establishment devotees and on the other side of the so-called fringes or whatever you want to call them, actually what is at work is this perverted expression of independence and individuality. In the so-called establishment, there are devotees who are thinking, now that I've attained this position of sannyasi, guru, GBC, temple president, whatever it may be, now I am free to do what I like. You see, this is perverted independence.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, those who, as they say, fry out from some harsh treatment by such a person who thinks he can do whatever he likes. They go outside and they think there, now I can do whatever I like. this is a very strange definition of being a devotee. I'm a devotee. I can do what I like. I'm a devotee. I can say what I like. No, this type of perverted independence has no place in Krishna consciousness, either within the management structure or in the grihastha community outside the temple. It just doesn't fit anywhere. So, Srila Prabhupada, he actually decried this sense of independence, which has reached its highest expression in the United States of America. You can look through the old BTGs, you find this edition of BTG that was published at the celebration of America's 200th anniversary of its so-called independence from Great Britain, I think it was, 1976. And you read the interview with Srila Prabhupada, and he just smashes this idea of independence. And he's just saying again and again, nobody is independent. This is Maya.
Srila Prabhupada rozbil tohle pojetí nezávislosti, který je vlastně jako nejvyšší výraz vůbec v Americe, vidět vydání Pentagonem dvoustému výročí tzv. Americké nezávislosti. Je tam interview Srila Prabhupada, pořád říká, nikdo není nezávislý.
So we have to depend on Krishna. This is devotee. Depending on Krishna, depending on Prabhupada, his founder, Acharya, depending on what he has established. And depending upon this Vaishnava culture of respect, in order to facilitate our dealings between one another. It should be done in this attitude of respect. So there is always some problem because we are coming from the disrespectful culture. We have to learn this culture of respect. If someone, for instance, a devotee, expresses an idea that it may be an idea that we don't like, it may be even an idea that is clearly wrong according to the Shastra. So it may be that this devotee is clearly in need of being corrected. But that should be done respectfully. Because he's a devotee. So this is the whole art of Vaishnava dealings. It's not that to respect another person means that if he speaks all nonsense, you just smile and say, Jai Prabhu. It doesn't mean that. But it also doesn't mean if he speaks something against the scripture that you immediately call him, a slimy dog or a big rascal or a demon. You say instead, my dear Prabhu, I wish to respectfully draw your attention to the fact that you're off the wall. Or maybe you don't say that, but anyway, you have to quote the Shastra and say, this is what scripture says. So by this culture, then, interpersonal dealings become very smooth. As devotees, we are to practice ahimsa, the principle of non-violence. That also has to do with, it doesn't mean just hitting one another on the head, but it also means the words you use, the facial expressions that one employs, the whole very subtle culture. This is the culture of the Brahmanas. So we Malechas have to somehow come to that standard. Yeah, that's a fact. We all vow not to commit that offense when we take initiation. Well, I don't want to launch into a whole history about these things, but just to be very short, with the departure of great acharyas, there is always such disturbances. And these disturbances take place, actually, to teach us that the instructions left by the founder Acharya must be followed, heart and soul, followed 100%. Otherwise, disaster comes.
Yes, the Acharya, na 100% život duší, jinak z toho vznikne veliká špatná situace.
Do I have to say more about this? I said enough. I don't really feel like getting into this. It's a whole other discussion. There's a lot to be said about it, but I just don't, you know, we're on another subject now. I just suffice to say that it serves as a lesson for us to learn. Well, Prabhupada said this is, he called it second class intelligence. It's just the way someone may be. Just like there are always different classes of everything, different classes of living entities, different classes of devotees, different classes of intelligence. So for each class, there is a prescription. How to become Krishna conscious. So we should accept our position and take that prescription. This is another American disease, that if we hear that there are three classes of devotees, then immediately I'm the first class. To immediately assume that I must be the first class. Yes.
One more thing. If somebody, maybe out of pride or social pressure, considers himself nishkama devotee, but actually sakama devotee, and then it may, in the future, this person may make disturbances.
Yes.
Solution then that one should act as Sakama devotee, change his attitude and get purified. If someone is pressured by the social pressure or the lack of a pihi, the nishkama odani, but instead of Sakama odani, then he can then have problems. Then, if he has one like Sakama odani, then he will have a
Well, we must serve the advanced devotees. ISKCON is meant to, on the highest level, GBC, sannyasis, of course, spiritual master, only advanced devotees who are nishkama may occupy these positions. And if in a temple there is some question whether someone who's coming up in leadership position is manifesting, you know, his own personal desires, which may be interfering with the actual purpose of the temple, then that is to be determined and dealt with from above. But not only from above, also horizontally. Also, there is the asanga. There should be in the temple council, of leading responsible devotees who also are able to detect if such problems are appearing. And then they consult with the vertical authority. You see, it's horizontal and vertical. So they consult with the vertical authority and take a decision based on that advice coming down. Now your question is, what should a person do who's in a position but is also manifesting this sakkama tendency? Should he just quit, or should he get purified and continue on? Well, the short answer, based on my experiences, is that all depends on how much trouble he makes. If the tendency is just appearing, and then he's told by his peers, that means on the vertical level, it's pointed out to him, and he gets some advice from, he's told on the horizontal level, and he gets some advice from the vertical level, and then he's able to correct himself, then there's no problem at all. But if it's the example of the dog's tail is curved, and you can hold it straight, pull it straight, and hold it and keep it as long as you like straight, but as soon as you let go, it's again curved. So if it's like that, that he can't help himself, and this is creating a continual disturbance, then yes, he should adjust his whole life to accommodate this. Because again, to live in the temple, and especially to occupy the leading positions in a temple, one has to be self-controlled. Prabhupada said that. One must be restrained, self-restrained. And if one is not, then he has to take up the method of becoming self-restrained, domestication. All right. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.